basically saying that we're giving our whole lives to Him. That it's not just a Sunday thing. It's a Monday through Sunday thing. That it's a 24/7, 365 days a year thing. That we wake up thinking about Jesus. We go to bed thinking about Jesus. That we're committing our lives unto His ways. And that everything that crosses our path, we're putting in His hand. And when we say that our lives are in the palm of His hand, that's what we're saying. We're saying, God, I've got a problem. Take it from me. And we have the faith that He has the ability to do that. Jesus, I believe in You. That's more than having a mental assent that we believe that He lived years ago. No, I believe in You. I believe so much that I've given my life over to You. Jesus, I belong to You. When something belongs to us, we get to have the say of what happens to whatever belongs to us. We're the one that is going to take care of it. We're the one that's going to maintain it. We're the ones that are going to decide how it's going to serve us. So if we're saying, Jesus, I belong to You, then what we're saying is, Jesus, You're the one that gets to say how You want me to live, how You want to maintain me, where I go, what I say, what I think, what I do. You're the reason that I live. Wow. Really? You're the reason that I live. A few years ago, I had to confess to Jesus. He wasn't the reason that I lived. The reason that I lived was because of my family, mainly my wife. I wanted to give her everything and do everything, and I wanted to make her happy. And I did it at the expense of sometimes not obeying God. And I had to confess to Jesus, I'm sorry. And He came and He said, okay, get it right now. If I'm the one, if I'm the reason that you live, then you follow my ways. Despite what anyone else thinks. And I had to lay down the fear of man. That was tough for me. I had to lay it down. You're the reason that I live. Had to be a real evaluation. I can truly say, He is the reason that I live today. And He's the reason that I sing with all my heart. There's a demonstration in my life. There's a demonstration in the way that I worship. There's a demonstration in the way that I walk in life. That He is the reason that I sing with all that I am. That demonstration, whether it's in public or whether it's in private, He's the reason that I live my life the way I do. I pray, and I've prayed this years ago. Jesus, capture me by the words that I speak. So if you're singing this song, if you're really worshiping God, let these words capture your heart. If you're believing in Him and you're saying you belong to Him, if you're saying that the reason that you're living is because of Jesus, realize that the commitment that you're making. Realize, no one builds a house that doesn't count the cost first. Count the cost. It will take you. It will take you. But let me tell you what, in the end, you will gain far more than you ever give up. He's true to His word. He's faithful. He's our Savior. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, I believe.
As that music continues to play, that is the beckoning sound of Jesus for His bride. Calling to you to come to Him, to sit at His feet, to hear His voice and to be captured just by the sound of His voice. To love Him with all of your heart and your soul, your strength and your might. He's calling to His bride, love me. Come and sit at my feet. Share a love with me. hear His voice beckoning to you to come. No, just because we enter that door doesn't mean that we've come. We still let our minds wonder about those things that we have to do, or things that are going to go on, or things that happened this past week, or things that are going to happen next week. Right now, let it be all about Him. Let it be all about Him. He loves us so much. He just loves us so much. And He just wants you to come and be with Him. Just listen to His voice. That sweet, beautiful voice. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. With all I am. With all I am is what we said. With all I am. We love you, Jesus.
Such a sweet, sweet presence of God. I mean, there was a scene in a movie. I like movies. in this movie, there was a girl goes to this guy and says, just a girl standing in front of a guy asking him to love her. And he says, if you don't mind, can I say no? Or he says it better than that. But anyway. So he goes and he tells his friends. This is what she said. And then his friends say, oh, well, good show. Way to go. You didn't need her. But this one guy says, but you know, it's kind of always good when somebody says they want you. It's always good when somebody says they love you. And it starts to shift, starts to change. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I think about Jesus and God. You know, people paint God sometimes as this harsh God who looks at you in your, and because we know ourselves, you know, and we go, who could love this? You know, who could want this? I know what I think and I know what I do, and you know, I'm full of sin. How could he love me? And so Satan plays these mind games with us, and so he lies to us and he says, he's rejecting you, so why don't you reject him? And so there's this never-ending cycle of thoughts. And then he comes lovingly like he does today. In his presence, he just says, I love you. I love you. Come to me. Come to me. Commit yourself to me. We're going to get into some of that today, how great God is. And part of that is meeting him. Meeting him. I am such a believer in worship. Worship is such an entrance. It talks about worship. Do a study on worship. Just look up the word worship. And it shows how David entered into the temple in worship. He entered into his presence in worship. And so that's the goal. It's not marking time. Do you understand that? I've got to spend my 30 minutes on my knees in prayer. I've got to sing these three songs. I've got to do these. I've got to do my due diligence about these certain things. It's not about that. The goal is to enter into his presence. Do you understand that? Being with him. It. That's his goal for you. It sometimes mystifies me. Sharon, I don't think it's unique to Sharon. I think it's unique to women. That she wants to make everything just right in the house for me. And we've had this discussion before, and she says, this is a way that I show you that I love you. And I'm going, I don't need that. I don't need everything to be in place to show you that you love me. Instead of me sitting on the couch and you running around dusting and washing dishes and doing all this stuff, I would much rather you be sitting beside me. I'd rather have you than seeing everything perfect around me. Your presence is more precious to me than my environment. Does that make sense to you guys?
Amen.
You know, your presence. It's true with me, and I think it's probably true with most men. Now, there are times, it used to be, it's not true anymore in our lives, but I'm going, do this stuff while I'm gone. You know, that's the time to do it. If you're doing it while I'm here, you know, no, I want you. The issue is If you're hurrying up through your prayer time, if you're hurrying up through worship, if you're hurrying up just to mark time, God's going, don't bother. Don't bother. Go about your business. Because what I desire is your heart. I want that connection. I want that intimacy with you. That's a large part about prayer. First, I want to read about, start with Ephesians, in Ephesians 6, just to say, we talked about the armor of God, and in verse 6:18, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit. And we talked about being in the Spirit. In the Spirit, you know, we talked about whether it was praying in tongues. And I said praying in the Spirit was more in unison in the Spirit. Being with the Spirit, praying as He prompts you to pray. With all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication with all the saints, and also with me, with words that may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is an interesting scenario because he's saying, give me the ability to speak boldly while I'm in chains. It's not like he can go door to door, folks. He's going, I'm locked up, I'm in prison, but still give me the ability to speak boldly. That's amazing. Because why? Because he knew God was going to give him opportunity. He knew God was going to give him opportunity to speak boldly about Jesus. So, us who are free to speak, he's going to give us opportunity. So let us pray for each other. I pray that you have opportunity. I speak about encouraging you not to remain within these four walls, to be encouraged to just be Christians here, but to be Christians out there. Not to be weirdos and go, ooh, spooky spiritual, just to proclaim the Word of God. And let the Word of God be powerful in who He is and do what He does in the midst of your situation, of your circumstance. Because remember the first three words when he talked about this? In all circumstances. At every place that you go, wherever you place your foot. So, let's turn to Luke 18. Luke 18. If I were to give this sermon a title, I would give it, what is our posture in prayer? How are we supposed to be when we are in prayer? Our posture, I don't care if you're standing up, kneeling down, being prostrate on the floor. Doesn't matter. Position and posture in your heart. And we're going to see some of that. In Luke chapter 18, starting with verse 1. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. That's their first posture, right there. When you pray, don't lose heart. Be confident. That's prayer, that's praying, believing that Jimmy was talking about. Pray, believing. If we are losing heart, we're not believing. Oh, will God. We're praying like Eeyore. Oh, will God. You're merciful. You're good. You're kind. So, you know, if you have the time, why don't you come and help me out? No. I believe that God loves me. I believe that God wants to help me in my circumstance. I believe that God wants to do something. Why? For my glory? No, for His glory. Why? Because I have made a stand for Him. Because He says, when He gives you that place as a son or daughter of God, He says, when I lift this people, exalt them, I'm exalting myself. He is lifting His kingdom into the place where He desires. Because why? Because a son or daughter of God are doing the things His way. And when they're doing it His way, the kingdom of God is expanding. Do you see that? Do you see that the kingdom of God is expanding because He's placed the people that He desires doing His way, His thing, then His kingdom expands. But if you see people that aren't doing things His ways and the way He does them, what? They're doing it by their opinion. They're doing it by, oh, well, that's what I think is right. It's a little frustrating. Why? Because my opinion is just as good as theirs. Opinions are like noses. Everybody got one. Why is my nose better than your nose? It works, right? Your nose works, right? It works. Well, here's the issue. Mine's not an opinion. Mine comes from one who created heaven and earth. Mine is the one who has the power to fulfill the very thing that we want to happen. So, don't lose heart. Especially when you're praying about what? We're praying about His will. We're praying about what He wants to happen, right?
Right.
He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And God will not give justice to His elect. And will not God give justice to His elect who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? He's going, look, this is an ungodly judge. This is a man who doesn't even know the truth. And he's going to give justice. How much more than God Himself give justice? If you feel that you have been unjustly treated, where should you go? Where should you go? Well, this is what I think is happening. They go to Facebook. They go to complain. They go to their neighbor. They go to somebody who has no power but to agree with them. And if they agree with them, what? Nothing happens. Nothing. They soothe their soul for just a little while. Complaining, complaining, complaining does nothing. In fact, as far as the Word of God says, what does God say about complaining? He says, don't do it. Complain about nothing. Whoa, wait a minute. That cuts down 95% of my conversation. For some people, that happens. It does. Complaining, complaining, complaining. My kids told me the other day, said, you hate people that complain. I said, yeah, I do. He goes, you complain a lot about people who complain. I said, yeah, I do. I said, I need to shut up about that. Captured by my own words, right? Right. Here's the issue. What happens when we look to the world for justice? We get a world's reward. What would we rather have? God's justice. We'd rather have God to do what He does. It will be much better. It will be much more rewarding. It will be what He will reward you in. He will not leave you that way. I'm telling you, give it to the Lord. Why is it so hard for us to do that? Because we have a soul. Our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions get so involved in this thing that has been done wrong to us that we're going, wah, 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 wah. Do you know what they did to me? And I did nothing wrong. Do you know what happened here? Oh, golly. Don't let them ever do anything to my kids. Because, boy, you just touched Mama Bear. Now, what? You see, the Word says you're justified. You're justified to complain when they did it to your kids. Oh, really? It doesn't say that. If you want to really see justice, teach God's justice to your children. Teach God's justice to your children and let them grow up and be people who know what the justice of God will do in their lives for many years to come. And when they can rely and lean on the Lord, then, oh my gosh, will they be powerful and warriors in God's army. Oh my gosh. If they can learn that here, if they can learn that at this age, oh my gosh. But let's say this. But when they grow up and they see that mama or daddy go, hey, you know what you did to my kid? And they walk over. My mom and dad take care of them. Don't have to worry about it. And then, what happens when mom and dad aren't around? They're crippled. They're crippled. Because they don't know how to go to God. Teach them how to go to God. Teach them to know how to pray. My son, My son worked for this furniture company. And he was telling me about these people that were getting raises. And he'd been there longer. I'm going, so? I'm going, well, Dad, it's just not fair. I said, so? And I said, who do you think pays you? Well, with furniture company, you have it all wrong. They don't pay you. Well, it's their name on the check. I said, the Lord recompenses. The Lord, all good things come from God. Do you believe that? All good things come from God. Do you believe that? He says, what's yeah. Do you believe your paycheck comes from God? Well, I do now. I said, then if you're being cheated by that furniture company, who's going to make it right? God. Then let him. Then let him make it right. Well, guess what? You got two raises from the furniture company and from another place that he works at. Well, God won't be mocked if you believe this. If he had gone in there and stomped in, he might have got a 50-cent raise. Well, yeah, you're right, man. You deserve a raise. And he might have got one. But he wouldn't have gotten what God wanted for him. Understand. Yeah. Understand. Your kicking and screaming may not be what God wants for you. Give it to God. The Pharisee and the tax collector. He also told a parable, and this kind of fits with the next one. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing to the far, far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Tell him, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Exactly. The one who complains is doing what? Is doing what? They're exalting themselves. I don't deserve to be treated like this. But also in prayer, if you humble yourself before God, man, this is your posture. This is the posture you're supposed to have when you entreat God. This is why worship is so important. When you humble yourself before the Lord, you're saying, God, it is your glory. It is you who we worship. You're acknowledging all of His attributes, all of who He is. And what? You're saying, I need you. In prayer, we should do the same thing. We should do the very same thing. I need you. Turn to Daniel. Daniel chapter 8.
Which book are
they? I just took a drink, Tom. Daniel chapter 8. Daniel. Daniel was a prophet for Israel. Daniel spent a lot of time on his knees in prayer. And I want to just show you Daniel's posture. Daniel chapter 8, starting with verse 15. Israel was a mess. Israel had sinned. God was dealing with Israel, and God was giving these messages to Daniel and saying, this is what I'm going to do to Israel. And so Daniel was like, God, please don't. In your mercy, please don't do it. So in verse 15, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision, I sought to understand it. And behold, there stood before me one having the appearance of a man, and heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, and it called Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. Understand, prayer is not always changing the circumstance. Prayer is probably understanding the circumstance. It's coming out of looking through my glasses and putting on the vision of the Lord. Okay. I see what God is doing. I see what the Lord wants to do. Not me. When we get so wrapped up and we think internally, we think it's about us. And sometimes we're just a player in what God's trying to do somewhere else. And you are a servant. A servant in God's army, and you are to be in that place to do God's will, to have His outcome. You know, I want you to know this. In whatever place you're at, wherever God has placed you, Claudia, God has placed you as a teacher. Do you believe that? You believe that God has placed you as a teacher? Is it sunshine, roses, and peaches every day? Well, why not? God placed you there. Daisy, has God placed you there? Yeah. Is it sunshine, peaches, and roses every day? Not only no, but not at all. Okay? Quentin, did God give you that job? Sunshine, peaches, and roses? No. God gave me a job at First Community Federal Credit Union. Let me tell you, there are days that I get yelled at. People come in and feel like there's a good person to yell at right there. And they yell at me. I understand that I was given that job by God. But I am just a person used by God in that place to get God's will done. A servant. You're a servant. You're a servant. You're a servant. You're a servant. We are all servants in the kingdom of God. Do you realize that? So God's not going to get me out of my circumstance. Do you understand that? God's not going to put me on an island in Hawaii. If I asked for that, He would probably put me in the island of Puerto Rico. And not even on the good side, on the bad side. You know, no electricity, no water, no food. You think you wanted an island? Here it is. I'll teach you there. I'm good. Do you realize that you are a part of the kingdom of God? And as a part of the kingdom of God, we humble ourselves to be that servant, to be that one that we will work in that place. not to be taken out, but probably to change circumstances. And if not to change the circumstances, to use the power of God to help people. Sharon asked for prayer last night. Said, I have a tough situation in a kid's life. And she says, but I realized that what she prophesied, what she said, the encouraging word, let me be in someone's timeline that I can influence people's lives. You're going to influence people's lives in their crisis. You think it's going to be in their happy times? Why do they need you then? I'm happy. I'm good. I'm good to go. So, Daniel's praying. Go to Daniel 9. Daniel's prayer for his people. Now, Jeremiah had prophesied. Down in verse 2, the last part, it says, Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the end of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Wow. They're talking about some stuff here. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking Him by prayer and pleas for mercy, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from Your commandments and rule. Did you see he acknowledged God? He humbled himself and he confessed the sin. Posture in prayer. He acknowledged God. He humbled himself and he confessed his sin. Man, now there's some specific things that they did. Let us be that way. Let's posture ourselves. Same chapter, go down to verse 18. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy, O Lord. Hear, O Lord. Forgive, O Lord. Pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. Act because these people are your name, but called by your name. Oh, he's going, understand. God does understand. He's going, but realize, no shame on you. Because, look, they're going to say, how great is their God? Look at what their God has done. Help us out. And in verse 20, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, Gabriel came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I have come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out. At the beginning of your word. Why? Why was it at the beginning? It wasn't a command. He wasn't going, oh God, this is what I need. Blank, blank, you know, number one, okay, number two, that number three, he said, oh God, help. Oh God, help. Mercy, 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 oh God, I need you. You know when the angel went out. Oh, boom. The angel went out. Why? Why did the angel go out on the word, oh? Because of his posture in heart. He was already postured humbly, knew what he was going to ask, knew that he needed God, knew that he was going to intercede for the nation of Israel. The posture in heart brought about the answer that he was going to declare. Now, the next one is very interesting. Daniel 10. Again, Israel, still in trouble. 10:11. He'd been praying, interceding. Old Daniel, man greatly loved. Are you greatly loved? Yeah, you are. You need to understand that. That's very important. You need to understand that you're greatly loved. Because if you don't understand that, you won't pray. You'll feel shame. You'll feel guilt. What happens when an abused child, some of you teachers know this, when an abused child who's been hit and who's been verbally abused, will they go to their parent? They'll shy away. They'll flinch. Why? Because they think they're going to get hit. They think that they're going to be abused. They think, He tells Daniel, you're greatly loved. That's an important message to send. That's an important message for you to know. You are greatly loved. Understand the words that I speak to you. Now, Daniel had fallen to his knees, and the angel came and he get up. And he did, but he was still trembling. Stand upright. For now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. And I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came and helped me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for the days to come. See what happened? See what happened in the days before, in the time that he had prayed before? Now, years have been passing. And so Daniel comes and he prays, and boom, shows up. He prays, boom, shows up. This time, he prays, and an angel is sent out. As the angel is flying over the king, over the area of Persia, a demon meets him. And they fight for 21 days before he can get to Daniel. Daniel's going, where's my answer here? I need you. And so this angel finally gets to him and he says, hey, man, the first word, you're a man greatly loved. I came to you. I was sent out the very first word that you spoke. But I was delayed by the prince of Persia. This demon delayed me. If God were to open our eyes and to peel back the heavens at this very moment, what would we see? What do you think we would see? I believe that we would see, first of all, there would be tongues of fire. The tongues of fire are an indication that the Holy Spirit is here. I'll show you a depiction back in the Old Testament when there was a pillar of fire at night and the clouds by day. If there was a pillar of fire over every tent because the Holy Spirit was there. And then I believe that there are angels here. Now, I believe that there are also opposition. I believe that there's a struggle right now for your mind and for your heart. There's a struggle. There are voices that are speaking against the truth of the Word of God. They have, sometimes they say, come on, you know Arthur. He doesn't speak the truth. You know he's done this or he's done that. They're accusations against me personally. Why? It's just a tactic. I don't take it personally. It's just a tactic to be able to say what he's saying is not true. There are other things that happen. Oh, come on. My preacher back 20 years ago, they didn't say that. And I believe him better than I believe that. There are many, 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 many lies that Satan will try to tell you to not believe the truth. It happens. It's at work. Something is trying to delay the truth. There have been prophecies about this particular church. And one that I still continue to hold on to. We cannot be affected by what we see. Do you understand that? You cannot be affected by the flesh. You cannot be affected by what you see. You can only be stabilized by what God says. Right? Is that right? Okay. One of the things that God has said, I still say it to be true. We will be shoulder to shoulder in this place. Really? That's what he said. There have been people who had dreams. People that have been confirmed time and time again. We will be shoulder to shoulder in this place. What does that mean? I mean, I think it to be literal. There will be people coming in this place because God will do what he wants to be done in the kingdom of God. I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. So what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to be as Daniel? I will. I will continue to pray. I will continue to pray for the immediate, and I will continue to pray for the long term. For whatever needs to happen, I will continue to pray. There's a church in Indiana doing some great things for God, grew. People who were there for a long time, they left the church. I said, "Why did you leave?" "Got too big for me." "What? What? It got too big for you? What do you mean by that?" "Well, it just got too big for me. It's too many people. Couldn't find a parking spot." "Really? That was it? That's your issue? Parking spot?" "Yeah. People that I didn't know. Couldn't you introduce yourself?" Why did he go to church? Was it for the kingdom? Or was it for himself? Gotta wonder. What is the kingdom of God about for you? His servant. His servant. Understand. 21 days. Go back to Luke 18. Now they were bringing, in verse 15, now they were bringing even infants to him that they might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them. For to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter in." This was the very scripture, of course I just studied it, but this is the very scripture that came to me when Jimmy said, "She'll take anything green." She sure will. And I need to give her something green. So I was going, I think she'll remember that for the rest of her life. Somebody acknowledged her birthday in church and came and gave her some money. "Suffer the children to come unto me." The rich young ruler. The crux of this was, there was this rich young ruler. Jesus meets him and he says, now, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus. He says, "What must I do to enter into heaven?" And he says, "You need to follow all the commandments." Check, I got that. He says, "Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal." Check. "Honor your father and mother." Check, I've done all that. And then he says, "There's still one thing that you got to do." He says, "What's that?" He says, "Sell everything you got and give it to the poor." Oh, no. He was a wealthy man. He goes, I can't do that. And he left sad. Well, then his disciples come up. And in verse 24, Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard it said, then who can be saved? But he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And Peter said, but first I want to address the first thing. It is impossible for a rich man to enter heaven. Right? Well, then Jesus says, but what's impossible with man is possible with God. He's going, so a rich man can go into heaven. And Peter said, see, we have left our homes and we followed you. And he said to them, truly I say to you, there is no one who's left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to eternal life. Wow. What do you think God has ever asked for you to sacrifice? Because let me tell you what He has asked you. He has. And He will continue to ask you. When I left Oklahoma, I lived in a 6-bedroom house. I had a swimming pool in the back. We lived in a half a block. And we came here and we moved into a 2-bedroom trailer house. And that's all we could find. But, it was okay. And we said, whatever, didn't matter. We knew that we were supposed to move here. Then we moved into where Patricia lives now. And it was huge. For us, it was huge. We just kept on adding bedroom to bedroom to bedroom. And then Sharon, she left. For her, it was a 12-hour trip from her mom and dad. And then it became 24 hours from her mom and dad. That was really hard on her. But she followed her husband. This is the scripture that God gave us. Whoever leaves houses, family, they will receive many times more. And when we came here, we knew what that was. We received family. We really knew what family meant in the context of what God meant by what family really meant. It was about the definition of what God said family was. It wasn't by the flesh. It was by the Word of God. I've probably told you all this story before. And then Sharon saw that house that we live in now. And she said, Arthur, I found this beautiful house. And he said, that's the one I live in. Well, the superintendent of the school lived there. And I said, well, good luck on that one. And we didn't know he was getting ready to leave. And so he put it up for sale, and we said, well, let's go look at it. And so we did, and they said, well, we already have 2 people ahead of you. And we said, oh, it's over with. We're not going to get it. We went on vacation, and by the time we got back, those 2 had already dropped out. And then Donise, she goes, She was so cute. She goes, we're so glad they dropped out because we wanted you to have it. I was going, well, my wife definitely wants this house. So, and things worked like amazing. When you get into those places and you're just going, oh God, I need your wisdom. I went to Jimmy. I said, Jimmy, the details of this are far more than I can grasp. And Jimmy can tell you, I was going, oh God, I don't know. And he soothed my soul, and he got me back in the spirit. But it takes faith when you give up stuff for God. And you got to know that His word, what is impossible with man possible with God. Because you don't know how else it can happen. When you humble yourself, I learned a long time ago that I would never be the smartest one in the room. I learned a long time ago that I wouldn't be the best looking one in the room. I learned a long time ago that I wouldn't be the best talented in the room. I just knew that I could be the best servant in the room. I would be willing to give my heart with all I had. And that's all he ever expected out of me. So, I know that works. And God doesn't ask for much of a man. He just asks for all of him.